production.
Welcome everybody back to Taking On Sports. It's been a minute. Greg, how you doing?
I am good. How are you today, sir?
I'm pretty good, of course. And T.D. Wood, you're the host. We're back after a little month-long absence. I'm back from New Orleans. Back with lots to talk about, so let's get right into it. We'll start, of course, with the NBA playoffs. The big thing, the conference finals are going on right now. And as it stands, the Nuggets are up 3-0 on the Lakers, and the Heat went into Boston and took the first two. They will play again later today. Greg, we'll start in the West. Do the Lakers have any chance?
No, it is over. I mean, they might win one. Denver, they've just been wrecking teams. I mean, they've looked like what a number one seed's supposed to look like. No question about it. You know, Jamal Murray, Jokic, and they've been put on a clinic this series and looked like the only dominant team in this entire playoff, and they've done it the entire, you know, every round of the playoffs so far. So yeah, they're looking good.
Yeah, absolutely. And their fourth quarters have been something to behold. Just they get hot at the right time and just go on these like 20-5 runs and put the game away. And, you know, Lakers might make a couple shots and make it a little bit close at the end, but you don't really feel like Denver's letting it up as much as you feel like, you know. Yeah. Yeah, Jokic has been just, I mean, the Joker's been the man. And like you said, Jamal Murray's really stepped up, reminded us what a good player he is.
Right.
And they got other guys, you know, Aaron Gordon's some really good. You know, you got Michael Porter's showing off some. You got guys just dropping threes for him. And, you know, that pick and roll, that high pick and roll is killing the Lakers. They don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, no answer for that at all.
None. Like, absolutely none. I think pretty much just echo everything you said, that the Nuggets look like a number one seed should. They look like the dominant team out West. This might be their year.
Might very well be.
You know, if we go predicting things, then the other thing will happen. But, I mean, right now, like you said, they look like the most rounded, best team in the playoffs so far. I'm with you. I mean, yeah, Lakers probably steal one. They might even steal two. But at this point, this is the first time I've really seen LeBron look his age in basketball years, not even just, you know, 30 years old or whatever, but like he's played for 20 seasons. He's played a lot of games,
a lot of basketball.
Yeah. And you can tell he looks tired pulling up, you know, a lot of slow, you know, AD's AD. You might go like 30, 17 and 9 one night and then shoot three times the next night, you know? So.
Right. You just never know what you're going to get with them. I know as those Laker fans, that's the most frustrating part about it, because he can look like the best big man in the league one day, and the next day you don't even know he's there. It's crazy.
That's it. So, yeah, the Nuggets should represent. It's just a matter of when, not if, over there.
Yeah, pretty much.
In the East, we mentioned the Heat just doing what the Heat do. Just kind of being an 8 seed and bullying other people around, going into Boston. And much like the Nuggets, in the fourth quarter, it's the Heat's. And I will just say one thing, and then I'll let you go with this. If I'm a teammate and I'm playing against Jimmy Butler, and I see one of my teammates start talking trash to him, I'm going to beat the shit out of him right there on the court. Because why would you anger Jimmy Butler in a playoff game?
Out of all people.
Just why, yeah. And so, I mean, even right now, I'm still thinking, looking at like the East being BPI, they still have Boston is 72% to win it. No. Like, what the? Same question, basically. Is there a way that Boston can come back from this?
Well, I mean, Boston at least still has that opportunity to. It's all, of course, you know, with point of one game thing, it's a matter of getting game three. And we know they have the talent to win a game. It's just a matter of do they. You know, they haven't closed out games well at all. And just a matter of can they play up to their, you know, level. You know, Tatum hasn't looked particularly good. The supporting cast hasn't looked good at times. And, you know, it's just the big runs that Miami goes on. I mean, they go on like 15-2 runs. And, you know, the middle of the third quarter, it's a close game. You look up halfway through the fourth and, you know, Boston's down 12. It's been crazy.
Yeah, it's out of nowhere, too. Boston will look good, and then, like you said, just in a snap there, Miami's gone on a run, and then they've got a 9-point lead with, like, a minute 30 to go.
Right.
Jimmy Butler's just he's the Terminator when it comes to, like, these fourth-quarter playoff scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of amazing to watch. And you touched on Jason Tatum's just been kind of – I don't know if I've ever seen a star player – like a team star, just not be so ineffective and just like invisible in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like the other night, he had what, 3 shots in the fourth quarter? You have right. to like, you have to get him more shots. You have to like either tell him like, hey, be selfish and take this game on, or you have to create the over. Offense. Yeah, like.
I mean, no one else is, so he's got to be the game.
Yeah, we saw him do it against Philly.
Oh, yeah, we saw it. We know he's capable of it. It's just a matter of that consistency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's just his next step. Yeah.
Yeah, just becoming that consistent killer. I know he's a big Kobe guy, one of Kobe's disciples, you would think. You know, he has to get that full-time Kobe Mamba mentality to just turn it on. And, you know, he's still a younger player. You know, still a lot of years left to get that. But, you know, at the same time, you know, you may seem like you have a lot of times, but you don't know how many more times you already have getting to the, you know, the Eastern Conference Finals, the NBA Finals. So when you get there, you got to be able to take advantage of it because you just don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Especially, you know, there's some talk that maybe, you know, Boston might change the roster up at this offseason or. You know, there's been some talk that maybe this coach isn't quite ready yet for the big time. You know, he's thrust into it after, you know, the Ime Udoka suspension or the release by Boston. And then, you know, their top assistants had already been snatched up by other franchises. And so this guy kind of got thrust into it and never really had a lot of big time head coaching experience. And a lot of criticism about his lack of adjustments and, you know, rotations and just little things that coaches do in the playoffs to help get their team over. And then,
and you know, at the same time,
go ahead.
No, I was just saying, but you got to think that's just something he's going to, you know, he's learning right now. I mean, it's his first time as a head coach in the playoffs. I mean, and if I'm Boston, I mean, I'm not making any moves because, I mean, obviously he's good enough that he's got him to this point. You know, and I think it's just a matter of continuing to learn, get more experience, how to adjust in the playoffs. You know, there's different in the regular season. And I think I would continue to run with him. I wouldn't get away from him just because, you know, it's his first time out. You know, three or four times that it's happening, then yeah, you look around. But, you know, this is his first time on goal. So I'm definitely not moving along because I would look at it, if you do bring anybody else in, are they going to be a better option? You know, and it's also a matter of do they fit in with, you know, the team. And, you know, the team seems to, like him as a coach there. So, I mean, I would move away from him, you know, because that's something you just have to learn, experience.
Yeah, for sure. Tough series to do it in, though, when you're playing, you know, Eric Spoelstra and then that Heat culture, you know, with Pat Riley's present there, they've, you know.
Oh, for sure.
You don't realize it, but, you know, if the Heat, you know, went on to win the title this year, that'd be their fourth in, what, the last 15-ish years.
Yeah, four.
I mean, that's up there with the Warriors. And it's, you know, they're for just consistently kind of around. And, you know, maybe not always like a number one seed, but
they're the Heat always there. Yeah, come playoff time, that is not who you want to see.
Yeah.
You know, they're tough. Mm-hmm. They're well coached. I mean, you think about, you know, Eric Spoelstra, probably the most underrated coach, maybe in NBA history. I mean, just the, the length of time he's been down there, and, you know, everybody thought, well, he's only succeeding right now because of Bron. You know, he got down there. He had to deal with putting that all together. You know, that's the big thing, all those personalities at one time, and he, you know, handled that. And, you know, every other coach after Bron leaves, you know, the thing falls apart. And he kept it together, got it going back. You know, of course, you know, having good leadership with Pat Riley there helped out, but you know, able to get it back on course, and you know, they've had some, able to get Jimmy Butler in there, and they've had some good seasons there. So, and you know, I think he's a big part of that, just because I think he's arguably the best coach in the NBA right now.
Yeah, sure, it's hard to argue against results, and he's got them.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, we'll see. Like I said, Celtics Heat, they'll play again tomorrow, later today.
No, tomorrow, not tonight, right? Yeah.
Yes, tonight, yeah. You would think the Celtics have to, I mean, they obviously have to steal at least one to stay alive, but they'd have to take both in Miami to get it back to like a best of three series.
I would have to think tonight would definitely be the one you have to get, because when you go down three, it's just, you know, I don't know, that's a whole different mindset, especially on the road like that.
Yeah, and then, you know, the NBA is the one professional league no team has ever come back from 3-0 deficit.
Yeah, we've seen some 3-1s, but yeah, no 3-0s.
No 3-0, yeah. Moving on, we'll move to real quick, talk about a couple of these eliminated teams. We noticed the Lakers, the last round, they went through Steph and the Warriors, and the Warriors just look like it's kind of the end of an era. It's looks like, you would think there got to be some big changes happening to that franchise in the offseason. Whether it's getting rid of Draymond or maybe getting Jordan Poole out of there and, you know, make some trades of these younger guys or what? The money is an issue, but they just have to – you just think, major changes are coming this offseason for Golden State.
You have to think. Think so. I mean, it's been quite the ride and run there, but yeah, it looks like it's kind of coming to an end there. And I, you know, it's just it happens to that's the closest thing to a dynasty we've seen in the NBA for a while. it's been a fun run, but it's hard to keep things going. Jordan Poole, I think, was the biggest problem. You know, he got that big contract and was MIA for most of the playoffs, it seemed. And everything really hurt him there. They have a lot of those young guys. Just a matter of, do they play them or do they move them to try to get other bigger names, already established guys in there? Yeah, what do they do with Draymond? Does Clay stay? I know that his name comes up a lot all the time, but who knows? Definitely, like you said, definitely would. You'd be shocked to see if their somewhat big three is there start of the season next year.
Yeah. So it should be good to watch. The Sixers, another team they were eliminated by Boston last round with MVP Joel Embiid not having the best series. Again, they fired Doc Rivers, so that's one change they made. Do you think we see Embiid do you think we see James Harden back? Do you think maybe he goes somewhere else and the Sixers try to rebuild that part of the roster around Embiid, or what do you think is going to happen there?
There's been rumors the whole time that Harden's out already, but who knows? Then there was also talk that he had a bigger – there's rumors, and it's all talk rumors, of course, that he was the big reason why Doc got fired. So, and then there's also rumors that he's going back to Houston. I think that Harden's probably gone. But who knows at this point? It's just a matter of. But yeah, if you're going to go one to the other, of course, you're going to see what you can put around Embiid. I think you want to get younger. I think you want to get maybe hungrier because, Harden, at times he just kind of there. And then other times he'll look good, but he's not the same guy that he once was. And I don't think he's the difference maker or anything that's going to make the 76ers move to the next level from, you know, second round team constantly to a team that can win the East, win the NBA title.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, you'd like to see maybe, I think a big loss of theirs was getting rid of Seth Curry.
No, yeah.
I think they need that kind of deadly shooter back. Maybe, right. You know, I like Tyrese Maxey there. I think he's going to stay there. I think, you know, maybe you see Tobias Harris move on if they either trade him or release him. I think, yeah, there's going to be some decent changes on the roster. All right. Besides,
I do think that they could still have change. They could still have Jimmy Butler with that whole.
Yeah, right. Tobias Harris. If only. Let's see. Who else do we got here? The Bucks, of course. They lost in round one.
And we jinxed them. I think we both had them coming out the East.
We did. Yeah, they got the official taken on sports jinx. But it's just, I mean, they ran into that Heat team, which, yeah, you know.
Heat team was on fire. Giannis being hurt those first couple of games definitely didn't help. And then, yeah. And to be fair, I mean, the Heat, definitely an 8 seed, is much better than the 8 seed. The record said 8 seed, but we knew that even with the Bucks winning, they were going to get us. I mean, even though we had the Bucks win that series, we knew that they were going to get a series just because of Spoelstra and what Jimmy Butler brings, especially in the playoffs. But, yeah, you know, that'd be interesting to see what they do this offseason. You know, who they get as their coach. You know, what changes do they make to get back to that championship level that they, you know, seem to already be around, but, you know, come up short the last couple of years now.
Yeah, interesting to see, you know, reading that they've interviewed Kelvin Sampson. From Houston in the college game. Yeah, that'd be interesting.
That would be interesting.
You know, Chris Middleton, it has a player option. Do they want him back? I'm interested to see with Milwaukee if they just try to run it back with the same roster and a fresh coach.
Yeah.
And see what's going on there, or if maybe they do, maybe they sign and trade Middleton or something like that. Maybe they make a couple of changes around that kind of core of – Giannis, Drew Holiday, and Middleton.
You know,
or if they like that, because when that's a healthy team, that's a good team.
Yeah, yeah. When they're healthy, and that's the biggest thing. If because Chris Middleton seems to can't stay healthy, unfortunately, and that. But yeah, I mean, if they're all willing, you know, good with coming back and want to be there, and you know, their health is not in question. I would stay with it. I mean, they're a good team. I mean, they were the number one seed for a reason. And, you know, things just kind of fell apart quickly against the Heat there. But I wouldn't make too many moves there. I think, you know, when they're healthy, that team is, it's a good team. They, you know, they have chemistry. They play well together. I would try to run it back with a fresh coach there. If I were.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I like that roster. You know, maybe you had a couple role players here and there.
But I wouldn't make any big adjustments there if I'm a decision maker in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I think I see what you get with a fully healthy 100% Middleton back in that. In a similar state, the Suns. They ousted Monty Williams. A lot of good coaches getting access. This was the weirdest one for me. I understand Coach Bud. You know, I mean, he's been there a while. There's been talks of him leaving before. You know, you lose that to that 8 seed. That's kind of rough. But Monty Williams, that kind of was puzzling when I saw that.
Yeah, I mean, he just what they, I mean, they've been. I guess it was just how it ended the last 2 years for him that kind of was his downfall. You know, last year at Game 7 against the Mavs, this year kind of got ran. But, I mean, is anybody going to beat the Nuggets? So, I mean.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And they're kind of similar to Milwaukee for me. And like, do you want to see
that
core healthy more? Because, right. You know, Durant getting hurt after the trade kind of, I think, helped hurt them gel.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to see a full season with Devin Booker, KD. I guess the biggest question is, you know, is Chris Paul wanting to run it back? Is he going to be, you know, he's getting old. He's one of the older guys in the league now. You know, what does he give you? Do you continue on? You know, I guess that's the biggest question there. But, yeah, for the most part, I'm running it back. I know that there's, of course, Ayton comes up as someone that's moving every chance they get. And, you know, a guy that kind of disappears in the playoffs time to time. And what happens with that? Yeah, I mean, if you have KD and Devin Booker healthy for an entire season, that in itself is intriguing enough to at least keep that part together.
Yeah, for sure. Their questions, you know, is Chris Paul, is he a guy that you can count on
once,
you know, deep in the playoffs to stay healthy?
Yeah.
And then I think you almost have to try to trade Ayton.
Kind of been. I mean, it was toxic kind of last year, and they kind of smoothed it over. But did they really smooth it over? And I think, you know, it's kind of because he, you know, him and Monty were cool. At least, you know, with him gone, I would think that Ayton. And I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people that still think, well, you know, Ayton still is a talented guy. You know, he just needs a change of scenery. So I'm sure he will. I'm sure Phoenix can get a decent enough haul for him there. You know, should trade him. I know that my Mavericks have been in one of the teams in that looking at Ayton. So we'll see how that plays out. But yeah, I would think he's probably gone. Yeah, it's just a matter of Chris Paul. And then who do they bring in as the coach there?
That's pretty much it for the big questions. Everything else is the usual, you know, like someone with the Knicks, you know, their questions are, you know, what do they do with, you know, Julius Randle and maybe RJ Barrett? Do they try to trade? You need to get a second kind of big name next to Brunson there.
Yeah, but, you know, I think right now, I mean, just where they are, I mean, they're ahead of schedule as of right now. So I don't think they're not in a bad spot because nobody expected them to, you know, do what they did. You know, they, you know, won a playoff series and look really good against, you know, a team that I thought was going to beat them there in the Cavs and, you know, really took the Cavs. They worked the Cavs and, you know, just ran into the Heat. And, you know, it's looking like, you know, that's maybe that. I mean, they kind of got ran by the Heat, but, I mean, it seems like everybody's kind of getting run by the Heat right now. That's kind of the story of the East. So.
Yeah.
But I think they're ahead of schedule. Yeah, you know, do they move Julius Randle? You know, and, you know, he's one of those guys as well. Kind of a head-scratcher. You know, he'll have a big games, and then they'll have some questionable stuff that he does in games. And I know some Knicks fans, you know, they get frustrated because there's no consistency there. I'm not sure what to get, but yeah, you know, but overall, I think, you know, they're just ahead of schedule. No one expected them to do what they did this year. But it'd be interesting to see, you know, do they run, you know, the Julius, do they bring in, another bigger name and move him and bring someone else with Brunson, see if they can run that but being that I think they're ahead of schedule, I don't think there's as near as much pressure as some other spots where there's kind of, with the Bucks and everybody's, they're in the East and Philly, you know, there was so much expectation this year and it didn't work out that I think there's a lot more pressure in those spots and what's in New York right now.
Yeah, for sure. And other than that, you know, there's, like I said, just a little, everybody's got their usual little questions, but I think we went over the biggest ones there. Of course, the other big story from this past week. Was it this week? Yeah. The NBA lottery happened, and pretty much the big surprise was Detroit not getting a top four pick. Yeah, brutal for them. You know, worst record in the league by like 10 losses. But the Spurs, of all franchises, get the number one pick, get the Victor Wembanyama.
It seems very familiar.
Yeah, right. Very familiar. Same squad that had David Robinson and then got Tim Duncan out of it. Just, you know, good for Wimby. That's a good franchise for him. You know, you get the at least a couple years of maybe
Greg Popovich
coaching you. Yeah. A comfortable situation. They won't put too much pressure on you right away. So, you know, sucks for Detroit, but they got a lot of young talent there.
They do. They still have Cunningham, Ivy. They stay healthy. That could be interesting.
Charlotte gets the number two pick. Of course, their big question is, you know, Scoot Henderson or Brandon Miller.
All right.
I've seen arguments for both.
It's a matter of what you need.
Portland, the Blazers.
With that said, it's just a matter of what is your preference? What are you looking for?
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I don't think you can go wrong either way. It's just a matter of what your preference is.
Yeah, exactly. Do they want to build like kind of the dynamic backcourt duo with Scoot and LaMelo? Do they want Miller's, you know, wing scoring ability? Mm-hmm. Although they do kind of have one in Bridges there. But then you got the Blazers got to number three. Seen a lot of talk about what do they want to trade that pick, try to get another kind of veteran star to go alongside Dame. Is this the year that Dame's finally traded, or, you know, what do they do with that? I wouldn't mind seeing, you know, Brandon Miller go there.
Yeah, I think that'd be a fun combination to watch. Dame and Brandon.
Good landing spot for him, yeah. And, you know, we got our teams, not much. You know, Dallas did get into that top 10, so they keep their pick. The Pelicans sit there, no luck for them. They're at 14, so that's another one that's possible trade candidate right there. Let's see, I was looking for that. Again, yeah, there were no big surprises, really. I think the Magic have two for top, 11 picks? So that's interesting with their young roster. If they add to Magic, that, or maybe they work some trades themselves.
Yeah, the Magic, they have a young talent down there. It's just a matter of putting it all together. But, I mean,
Thunder, of course, have another lottery pick. The Jazz have two first-rounders, you know.
That's one thing with the Thunder. They, over the years, as we know, they've done a heck of a job drafting, putting teams together there. And they're always going to be competitive, if nothing else. They're going to always have at least one star, and they're going to be a team you can't sleep on. You know, that front office, for being in Oklahoma City and everything that, you know, that people don't like about a little market, they do a heck of a job, I think. But,
Be interesting, you know, that draft later in, obviously, June 22nd. Yep. That'd be a good one. Interesting to see. I think there might be some trades this year.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of trades, a lot of, around that, with the draft and then, of course, with the free agency, the NBA always has an epic offseason, so I'm sure we'll see something that'll catch our attention for sure, as we always do.
Anything else on the NBA we missed you want to touch on?
Other than Ja.
Again. Oh, Ja.
Oh, boy. It's like, dang. Not even a month.
Yeah, Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you just said, I think you said everything. Yeah. Just, oh boy. Yeah, oh boy. See, so yeah, we'll see how that
all plays out there. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, speaking of drafts, the NFL draft also happened when we were gone. One of the biggest things to happen there was actually a few hours before it took off, but the Ravens and Lamar Jackson finally came to an extension.
Yeah.
Yep, finally got there. It was a big, I think, actually technically the biggest contract in NFL history once it's all said and done. Or maybe not the biggest. That might be, what's-his-face's,
Pat Mahomes. I think it's just per year. Guaranteed money was the biggest ever.
Yeah, that's what it is. So Lamar ends up being a little bit more than Jalen Hurts' contract. That seemed to be the big impetus once Jalen Hurts signed his extension with the Eagles. I think that kind of put
everything
Lamar was like, okay. Yeah.
It's not going to get better.
So, yeah, I think it's what, 175 and guaranteed up front, but then a possible like 280 or something guaranteed on the back end. So, you know, he got what he wants. The Ravens got what they want. They get their star quarterback back. They draft Zay Flowers, receiver from Boston College, in the first round, which, according to all the experts, was, you know, maybe one of the bigger gets of the first round, considering where they were, where they got them. That gives the Ravens a speed threat to go alongside their big guys and, you know, Odell Beckham and a healthy Rashad Bateman and Mark Andrews. So I liked it. So, yeah, as a Ravens fan, the Ravens fans, you can breathe. Good draft. Got your quarterback back. Got some receivers to help him. So we'll see. Of course, the other big news, you know, our boy Bryce Young, number one to the Panthers. That's a franchise that's been looking for a quarterback for, what, about 6-7 years now since Cam Newton, you know, started getting hurt and left. The Texans made some noise after drafting C.J. Stroud second. They traded up again to get Will Anderson, so that kind of seemed like, if you read everything, the owner wanted a franchise quarterback and D'Amico wanted Will as a defensive, you know, anchor. They both got what they wanted.
Exactly.
Still some work, you know, a lot of work to do with that franchise and that roster, but those are two
good places to start.
Pretty good cornerstones. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Two perfect places to start. You know, it's just a matter of, you know, giving everybody the patience that the NFL doesn't give you.
yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Yeah. Let's see. Yeah. If the owner, if they're willing to, you know, realize that that's probably a few years worth of a rebuild there.
I mean, D'Amico is his first time coaching as a head guy. But, I mean, he's familiar with the ownership as a, you know, longtime player there. So he's familiar with, you know, how things run. So at least he has that going for him. You know, and then he was their guy. So being that he was their guy, seeming from the get-go, you know, some, you know, maybe more grace than, you know, other folks. So hopefully that's the case. And, you know, just, you know, these rookie quarterbacks, you know, people expect Joe Burrow right away. But you know, it's just a matter of what do you put around him. And just give him the time to become a star. Because we know C.J. Stroud has the talent, or he wouldn't have been the, you know, the number two pick in the draft. And a lot of these guys, they're not blessed necessarily. It's just the situations they go into. If you're not going into a good situation, of course, it's not going to work out. And they'll put, you know, a good offensive line around you or some, you know, a premier wide receiver. No one's going to be good. So it's just a matter of what they put around these guys and realizing, you know, that they've, you know, had it's the reason why they were the number two pick in the draft and give them time to work and get better. And hopefully they, you know, have the patience and time to do that. Because, you know, I think that they've got some good pieces. It's just a matter of, you know, how does it all work out?
Yeah. I think the fans there, will give them, you know, some, I think they'll be patient because they finally have, you know, obviously, like you said, D'Amico played there, so he was a team captain there. They love him. They got themselves a franchise quarterback. They got themselves a franchise star, defensive star.
Right.
They got direction in the franchise finally. You know, they've had three different coaches the past 3 years. They've been just kind of lost in the wind since, you know, the Bill O'Brien era, and even that was tumultuous.
That was it.
Like you said, just it's ownership in the front office. They have to give D'Amico and his staff time to, you know, build the culture and build a roster. Other big things, I see Anthony Richardson, number four, to the Colts. So that's interesting. You know, he was a big, you know, rising star in the combine and all the workouts.
He gained all the numbers.
He's a guy that's got all the traits.
His ceiling is very high. It's just a matter of, does he reach that ceiling or not? we shall see. I really thought Will Levis was, you know, it seemed like that was their guy. But if I'm the Colts, I think they made the right decision. I think he has way more upside than Will Levis. So, you know, I thought that was a much better choice for them there. And it's also interesting, you know, the Colts are going back to the drafting a guy instead of bringing in a veteran that hadn't worked out too well for him.
Yeah, especially with new coach Shane Steichen coming over from Philly. You know, he's running an offense that he ran with Jalen Hurts. Right. Richardson, you know, a little similar. So that's probably a good situation for him, too. And, again, it's the same thing as we talked about Houston. They just, you know, Ursay and ownership, they've got to give them patience there to
build back
this team up. They do. That's true. You got Jonathan Taylor at tailback. You got some receiving talent there.
They were – going into last season, I mean, a lot of people thought they were a sneaky pick to go far in the playoffs. I mean, they thought, you know, that talent, you know, everyone wasn't sure about Matt Ryan, but they didn't think it was going to be a bad thing. And it just blew up quickly.
work out for them. But, so they have their franchise quarterback now after a couple of patchwork years, you know, Carson Wentz and then, you know, Phil Rivers and Matt Ryan. So now they got their quarterback of the future, hopefully for them. Other interesting first round stuff going on. The Falcons at number eight drafted a running back, Bijan Robinson. Granted, you know, they're saying one of the best, you know, running back prospects since probably Saquon Barkley.
But
that's early. It's early for a running back these days.
A lot of things in Atlanta. Running back wasn't at the top of that list, but
but they're building a fun offense. I'll tell you that much. With Drake London and now Bijan, Kyle Pitts, like they're gonna have some studs on that offense.
A lot of playmakers.
And in that, so that could be interesting to watch. The Eagles, you know, a lot of experts said they had the best draft overall. You know, they got Jalen Carter.
Georgia North.
Early. exactly. Yeah, drafting a lot of Georgia guys. A big surprise, speaking of running backs, number 12, our boy Jahmyr Gibbs went 12th to the Lions. That's good for him.
Yeah, I was like, wow.
That's just a weird pick there, man.
I expect him to go in the first round. I was thinking mid-20s, they went at 12. I was like, wow.
Yeah, I was thinking the earliest that we might see him would be maybe, I'm looking at all the people that drafting, you know. I mean, there was talk maybe like your Cowboys might slip in there and take him.
That's what I was talking, thinking. Maybe. That's what I was hoping for. And he just went so high. I was like, wow. Just jumped off.
And there was talk of maybe the Chargers taking them because Austin Eckler talking about maybe wanting to trade out of there. But so Detroit gets themselves another offensive weapon. They got some there now.
They're in Detroit.
Yeah. Now, if you know, that's one thing that you know, we say this now, but if you look back on it, you know, and they use him, and that's a guy with his talent, you know, he's got comparisons to like Alvin Kamara. Mm-hmm. He's got a little bit of Marshall Faulk in him, you know, not to place that weight on him. Yeah, it's a Hall of Famer, but
he's got that
kind of guy that you can use him. Yeah, exactly. He can run for 1,000 yards and, like, receive for, you know, like 800 a year.
He's perfect for today's NFL.
And he's a home run hitter every time he touches a ball.
Exactly.
Let's see. other big things here. First round, you know, kind of went, you know, nothing too exciting. Speaking of the Chargers, they did get Quentin Johnston from TCU. That's another big play receiver they have there for Justin Herbert to throw to. Mentioned Zay Flowers, the Ravens. Nolan Smith, we mentioned, yeah, Georgia North and Philly there. Will Levis, we talked about, he went round two to Tennessee. The Steelers get Joey Porter Jr. Perfect. Seems like perfect pick. Yeah. Michael Mayer, the big tight end from Notre Dame, and everyone, you know, you saw some like top 10 stuff for him. He ended up going to the second round of the Raiders. Let's see what else. Trying to think. Hendon Hooker went, what, round three to, where did he end up? Detroit.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. A good, that's probably a good, good spot for him.
I mean, he can sit there.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to come in and play right away. And continue to get healthy. Because, you know, he didn't tear the ACL till November. And despite it being that, you know, it seems like it's getting faster and faster for ACLs, it's still something you still take seriously there. So, you know, he did. Luckily, he can learn. And, you know, eventually could be the guy down the road there. But
yeah, you figure that, you know, you'll get what you get out of what's his face up there now?
Yeah. I mean, Jared Goff had he's had a pretty good season last year, and really, that Detroit team, so close to the playoffs. And then, you know, I would have to think that, with the changes there in Green Bay and, you know, that this, Detroit team may be making noise to win the North.
For sure, yeah. That's kind of a wide open North there. You know, Minnesota would be the favorite, but you never know what you're going to get with Minnesota. Justin Jefferson's going to kill people. He's going to get his numbers.
I mean, they have the talent. I mean, and they might be moving Dalvin Cook. I mean, there's a lot of speculation he's out. It's just a matter of I just think it. You know, they're definitely. Detroit's, I think, the hotter name as far as just what they did last year and building off that. I think if I were betting right now, that's who I would put as my NFC North champion. Now that I've said that, sorry, Detroit.
Yep. Four and 14. Back in, 4-13, whatever.
Top five draft pick this year.
But yeah, let's see. Anything else? Anything else you want to talk about? NFL draft?
Yeah, with the Cowboys. Didn't do anything sexy, but we did what we needed to do. Got a run stopper there in the first round. And we've seem to always draft well. Like I said, we've really blown the draft in a long time. What we do once we get to the playoffs, that's our big thing, you know. We don't have any problem with the regular season the last couple of years. It's just a matter of getting it together at the right time. So that's just a long way to go with that. So
yeah, and then, you know, there's still some, you know, free agents to be added here and there, and guys cut, and, you know, maybe a trade or two. So we'll see. Yeah. You know, long summer still. Real quick, other sports here. We'll see, you know, of course, spring practice wrapped up. The big news out of Tuscaloosa was getting that quarterback Tyler Buechner from Notre Dame after a less than impressive showing in the spring game by Jalen Milroe and Ty Simpson. Depending on your side, this is either horrible and the end of the dynasty for Alabama, or it's just ho-hum. It makes sense that this guy that was recruited by Tommy Rees and probably has a relationship with him wants to come play with him in the offense. He knows that it gives us another option.
I'd say more competition at this point, the better. I think iron sharpens iron. I mean, I don't think it's going to make anybody worse. If anything, it's going to wake him up and be like, hey, you know, you could be the guy, but you have to You know, you have to step up to a different level in order to be the guy come September.
Yeah. Yeah, and as an Alabama fan, you know, we have been spoiled by quarterbacks. You know, our last four starters have been Bryce Young, right. Heisman winner, number one pick. Mac Jones, you know, had what the greatest quarterback rating in a single season, you know, beat Joe Burrow's records. First round pick. Then you had Tua, first round pick, and you know, at the time was thought of the greatest quarterback in school history when he left. Jalen before him, you know, we've had some. We've been spoiled the past few, you know, what, seven or so, 6 or 7 seasons.
And we had quite the run of quarterbacks.
We've won a title with Greg McElroy.
You know, for a while, you got to remember at one point, A.J. McCarron was considered the greatest Alabama quarterback of all time.
Yeah. And, you know, we won with Jake Coker, and they all those guys did their skill set. And I think that's what the more I've, you know, watched the practice and read on Tommy Rees's offense, the strength there is going to be his adaptability to what's working. You know, I think he's a guy that's not afraid that if the matchups work, we're going to spread it out. But if the matchups work, we're going to see some three tight end sets and we're going to look a little bit more like those 2012-ish teams that's where we just line up and run the ball.
I have no problem with that. If that's what's working, run it. You know, and I know that Notre Dame had a lot of success the last with the tight ends. You know, we brought that guy in from Maryland. See how that plays with it. But, you know, a lot of people are talking about the sky's falling. I don't really think that just because there's so much talent there. I think the defense is going to be nasty. The running, that running back room is stacked. And it's just a matter of the quarterback. You know, I think, you know, last year we won because of Bryce. This year, other people are just going to have to step up, and we're just going to have to have whoever ends up being a star just doesn't make the costly mistakes. And I think everybody else keep them in the game. I think the defense is going to be better, and it's just going to be a matter of not having an errant pick or things of that. I think everything's fine in Tuscaloosa. I don't see any reason to think otherwise. I mean, yes, of course, you know, LSU is the hottest name in the West right now. Yes, they beat us and they won the West last year. But they're a talented team, but they don't necessarily, you know, scare me. It's just a matter of us finding and doing what we do, and I think if we find that and get kind of back to, I guess, more of a classic Alabama look that maybe hadn't been there for a little bit, then we'll be all right.
Exactly, yeah. And again, much like we talked about the NFL, there's a long summer ahead of us with practice. And so, we'll see what happens with some, you know, summer practice and then, you know, his first game or two of the season.
No one will know anything up until that Texas game as far as who's the star.
Exactly, yeah. But yeah, let's see. Also around the world of sports, you know, got the NCAA softball regionals going on this weekend. Alabama lost a game today earlier to Middle Tennessee State, so they get now a win, you know, basically a game seven-ish winner go home here and starting again in a few minutes.
I mean, they have to win this. I mean, they didn't win the regional last year, and a lot of people wondering why Alabama got a regional this year. And that'd be brutal to lose this regional. They got to win.
Gotta win it, yeah, and they're capable. You know, just bats went cold this last game, but they also put 12 guys in Middle Tennessee the other day. So
that's the thing of those bats.
We'll see. You know,
we haven't had a great hitting team for a while now. That's cool. So, I mean, that's the biggest question mark as far as with the, you know, the coaching is. You know, we got to get bats because, you know, I think we've wasted some of Fouts' greatness because he can't put my support around him.
Yeah, and her health is a big question mark right now. Yeah. The hyperextended knee. They were showing her warming up, so I don't know if maybe she'll make an appearance at this winter go home game, or if she'll trying to save her and see if she'll be healthy if we can win and get to the super regional next
weekend. I would hope that we could win without her.
The baseball side. Yeah. Okay.
You know, it's
you would hope so. Yeah, that would be ideal.
Yeah,
you know,
there's enough talent and enough experience to be able to pull that off without her. And you see what you have next weekend.
Yeah. And they would play the winner of, I forget which regional, the 12 seed, Miami, Ohio, and somebody else, Northwestern. Baseball, the guys, they're entering the SEC tournament this year. Ended the season on some good notes. You know, took a series from Vanderbilt, swept Ole Miss in the year. So maybe a little momentum for the Tide heading into the postseason. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Ever since the big, that's the other thing. Yeah. Ever since we got rid of a coach who apparently was gambling on games or giving tips or whatever. Some sketchiness abounds. So Brad Bohannon gone from the Tide, and they've kind of cranked it up there. But yeah, we'll see. Like I said, SEC tournament, conference tournaments starting up this week. So
we're in a couple weekends before we last year, much better record. I think we're locked for a regional spot.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Let's see. Elsewhere, you know, NHL playoffs going on. Neither of us are big enough to know anything to talk about it.
I'm going to start trying to watch it, but watch it right now. We're up 2-1. But yeah, that's where it kind of...
Let's see. WNBA season just kicked off.
The other night.
Yeah. You got, let's see, over in England, Manchester City won their third straight Premier League title and fifth in the last 6 years. Oh. That's just a machine that's just rolling along there. And you got the MLB season rolling along. Nothing spectacular going on. You know, my Braves are having a good year. Your Yankees, after a slow start, appear to be turning it around.
The whole thing.
I know Aaron Judge killed me in my fantasy matchup this week. Just murdered me.
Right now, that whole AL East division is crazy. Like, we're at the bottom of the division, and we'd be, like, first or second in most other divisions.
Yeah, who would, you know, I'm sure everybody on their, you know, preseason predictions had the Rays, the Orioles, and Pittsburgh Pirates as some of the best teams in the league so far. The Pirates have cooled off considerably lately, but the Rays have the best record in baseball. The O's have the second best record in baseball. And like you said, all five teams in the AL East have winning records, and you know, Toronto's in last place, and they're 4 games above 500. You mentioned the city. The Yankees have 29 wins, which is the same as the Braves, who have the biggest division lead in baseball right now at 5 games over the Marlins.
Yeah,
well, AL East
is hot.
It's gonna be a fun division, and you hope that like young team like the Orioles can stay that way to make it competitive. They're definitely ahead of schedule.
Great last year. And they seem to continue on that. So it's just a matter of staying healthy and just getting better.
You hope everyone stays healthy. You hope all the big stars in baseball stay healthy. And you get some fun, you know, guys like Ronald Acuna chasing 40 seasons now with these new stolen base being a lot easier. I think he's already got about 18 or so. So, yeah, he's going to get there on the bases, and he's got, 11, 12 home runs. So, but, I think it's been a fun season so far. Other than that, I think we covered everything we missed.
It was a lot. We ran the gamut there, so.
Yeah, so, we'll do every other week here during the slow parts of the sports world. So we'll probably be talking NBA Finals next time you all hear from us. We'll see what else happens. So, Greg, what's been done up for real good for you since last time we talked?
Real good for me. Probably bragging on my daughter. She got into the National Junior Honor Society last week, so that was pretty cool. She's pretty smart. How about you?
See, well, we're going to the beach tomorrow, so.
Oh, that's always good.
Yeah, that's always good. That's what I'll say. A nice, relaxing week. You know, we got home from New Orleans after a month of work, and
yeah,
had a bunch of doctor's appointments for, you know, everyone this week, the kid and all that, and everyone's looking good, but it's nice yeah. to go relax yeah. for a few days.
Go relax a little bit, yeah.
Yep, on the Gulf Coast. But thank y'all for listening. Welcome back. We're happy to be back. Like I said, we'll see you again.
No, you guys missed us.
Yes, we know that you guys were crying. It's okay. We're back. Don't be sad.
We're back.
But as always, check out everything. As always, check out all the great podcasts on the Alabama Take family of podcasts. Check out the alabamatake.com. You can hear us on all the places that you get your podcast. Tell your friends about us. Tell your rich friends about us. Someone pay us money to do this, of course. And until next time, we'll take it easy, y'all.